We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Not at the finish line, but about halfway there. 5 o'clock on the dot, Tony Gwynn. Excuse me, 5:01 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr. Chris Ello here with you on this Thursday evening and last show of the week. No show tomorrow for any of our sports talk radio. And that also goes for Monday, obviously, with that being Memorial Day. We've been talking about these NFL rule proposals for about 2 hours, and we're going to get to them right now. NFL.
We've talked about talking about them.
Right. NFL clubs received a list of potential rule changes Thursday, and team owners will be asked to vote on the proposals during a virtual meeting on May 28th. The booth umpire and technology advisor proposal were not endorsed by the competition committee, meaning they are unlikely to be approved as a permanent rule change. Instead, the committee recommended a preseason experiment. Coaches have lobbied for an additional officiating help for several years, and the league is looking for new ways to improve officiating after what was an abysmal year last year, allowing pass interference calls to be reviewed by replay in 2019. Meanwhile, momentum is starting to grow for another team proposed rule change, an alternative to the onside kick put forth by the Philadelphia Eagles. Instead of kicking off after a score late in the fourth quarter, a team would have the option for one offensive play from its 25-yard line. It would need to gain at least 15 yards to retain possession. According to Pro Football Talk, the game clock starts on the snap, and normal NFL timing rules apply. So unlike an extra point, two-point conversion, or a kickoff for a touchback, time will run off the clock when teams use the onside kick alternative. Consider a team that scores a go-ahead touchdown with only a second or two left in the fourth quarter. That team might use the onside kick alternative just to have the quarterback kneel down and run the remaining time off the clock rather than kickoff and risk of a kickoff return touchdown.
I don't like that. That's an unintended consequence of a new rule. I don't care for that. I hadn't thought of it.
Loophole.
Yeah. Little loophole there. Yeah. I mean,
I find it ironic real quick that the Eagles are the one. They're the team that probably goes for it most on fourth down. So they have a playbook for fourth and 15.
And 15 is sounds like a daunting proposition.
Not in today's game.
But not in today's game at all. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, 15 yards. I mean, Michael Thomas chews that up in about 2 seconds. So I like the drama that goes along with a team trailing by, 11 points, 14 points, something like that, still having an outside chance to pull out the game with an onside kick. And according to the statistics, since the start of the 2018 season, the recovery rate on onside kicks has been 10.5%. It used to be 19%, but they've changed there's new kickoff rules now. And so for safety reasons. But Tony, I got to be honest with you. I kind of like a team that's down by 14 points with a minute to go in the game having about a 10% chance to win. I don't think they should have a better chance than that. And I think that by going to this other idea where you get a fourth and 15 play from your own 25-yard line, let's assume you make that, okay? Well, you're already now past the 40-yard line, right?
Yeah.
Because you're starting on your own 25, And I think it would really increase the odds of teams trailing by, you know, 10, 14 points. Now, a lot of people might like that, but I don't know. To me, the other teams dominated the game for 58 and a half minutes. I don't think that it's fair that, you know, Tom Brady gets the ball back, drives in for a touchdown, gets the ball back, and gets to drive for another touchdown.
Yeah.
And win
no,
the game.
I agree.
So I don't really like this rule, at least not yet. I'm going to have to see it some more. But I think a 10% chance to get an onside kick, that seems fair.
Yeah, I think you're right. The owners rejected a similar proposal last year from the Denver Broncos, but the league did try it out during the 2019 Pro Bowl. The competition committee has endorsed two minor rule changes for owners to consider, expanding defensiveless player protections to a returner who has secured possession but hasn't had the opportunity to ward off an impending contact, closing a loophole that we saw Mr. Belichick and the Tennessee Titans use last year, among others, to drain the clock by committing multiple dead ball fouls while the clock was running. Also to be discussed will be making permanent the expansion of the automatic replay review to include scoring plays, turnovers negated by a foul, and an extra point attempt. Just going back to the 4th and 15 proposal, mm-hmm. I almost feel like in today's game it would need to be longer than 15 yards, maybe 20, maybe 25. And, you know, I didn't think about teams being able to down the football, as you didn't, to stop the clock, right? Because if you're going for it, you could have teams just kind of kneel and stop the clock. And it would be interesting to see how that kind of would work, right? Because, yeah, as you said, this is going to need to be vetted a little bit more. I'm going to need to see it in live action, how it plays out.
It seems to me that a 4th and 15 play, one play to convert 15 yards – would be executed at much better than a 10% rate.
Yeah,
and it seems to me that that's what they're going for here. They want to give the team that's trailing a better opportunity to pull the game out. And while I understand that that increases the drama, et cetera, I don't know. I don't know that it's – I know life's not fair, but it doesn't seem fair to me that a team should dominate a game for 58 minutes, be leading, you know – 21-6, and then never see the ball again because Tom Brady just gets to drive down the field for a touchdown, gets to take the ball at his own 25-yard line, complete one pass, and then drive down the field for another touchdown, gets to take the ball, complete one pass, and drive another 50 yards down there for a field goal and beat me. And I just dominated him for 58 minutes, and now I lost.
All right.
It doesn't seem fair. I like, you know, the onside kick is a crapshoot. It's a long shot opportunity to get the ball back when you're down by two scores. But to me, I think it should be a long shot opportunity to get the ball back when you're down by two scores. I mean,
it shouldn't be
something that you're, you know, relatively easily able to do. And 4th and 15, that's a piece of cake for Drew Brees.
It does seem a little too short. I think back to when the onside kick rules were the onside kick rules, right? Before they changed them recently for safety reasons.
And guys could start charging from like 35 yards back and get a full lot of steam.
Would you feel differently if they did this for a year and the numbers came back and said it was at 19.5% chance, like where it was?
Right,
where they had the old school onside kick, would you feel the same way still then?
Yes and no, and the reason I'd say that is because I don't know if the 19% statistic includes surprise onside kicks or not. Because I know surprise onside kicks work a whole lot more often than onside kicks right at the end of the game when everyone's expecting it. So that's kind of a whole different play as far as I'm concerned. The surprise onside kick.
See, to me, that was what probably got it up to 19%.
That's what got it up to 19%.
I could barely think of any that weren't surprised, other than the one that comes to my mind most recently was the Packers-Seattle playoff game, where that was just everybody knew the onside kick was coming, and they still got it.
Most
of the other ones I remember successfully, all surprise onside kicks.
Yeah, so, and that's probably where the 10% even came from last year, was some surprise onside kicks. I doubt that teams lining up at the end of a game converted an onside kick one out of every 10 times. I wouldn't expect that. But you know, that's a rule that I got to, you know, just I got to kind of catalog it and go back to it a little bit more. The one rule change, though, that I don't understand what they're waiting around for is this whole notion of getting an official to sit up
this is an easy one.
Press box and be a sky judge who can communicate with the officials down on the field and get calls right. It just seems like it would be, A, an easier way to get calls right. B, it would be a million times faster than what it is now. You know, when they go stand on the sideline and look under the hood for a half an hour.
How about C? You make your referees look better.
Like, yeah.
How often this past season were we talking about referees on Monday morning or Monday afternoon when we came on the air?
It seemed
like every week we were talking about referees. So why not try to enhance the officiating, which I think by all accounts has been pretty poor over the last few years? This doesn't make any sense. This is a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, and I mean, so the sky judge thing is something that apparently they're going to be able to discuss next week, but they're not going to be able to vote on because the
competition
the red
committee
tape
didn't,
is that's
it
involved.
Wasn't their idea.
Yeah, the red tape, whatever red tape, you know, stupid rule they want to make to why, you know, you can't vote on this. But that's the rule that I would like to see put in. And that's coming from me, who doesn't need a perfect game called. Right. I don't need every call to be 100% right, but I think this would help every call be right. But more than that, I just think it would improve the pace of the game a little bit and get us to a determination. It drives me crazy when there's a play, the call is made, the team challenges the call, then they show the replay to us at home, and we're sitting there for 20 minutes going, he's in bounds, he's in bounds, he's in bounds. And the announcers are going, he's in bounds, he's in bounds, he's in. But the guy is still standing there looking under the hood and then finally comes out, you know, after all this time and goes, the receiver was in bounds. Yeah, we knew that. We're pretty well aware of that. We didn't really need the extra 18 minutes
to figure that out.
Yeah, so that's where the sky judge thing would come in so much more handy as far as I'm concerned, because it seems like now there are many calls that are really difficult, and it does take some time to sort out whether the knee was touching before the ball came out or this, that, and the other. But there's a lot of calls that are cut and dry that they take way too long on. I think could be changed.
No doubt about it. Hopefully the competition committee gets a few things right in these rules and gets that one in particular added, because I think it would speed up things and they get a lot more calls and referees would stop taking such a beating every week. Sorry. We got to get to break. When we come back, Coaches Lolita's High School Spotlight follows. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Here's a look at traffic with Kelly Daniel.
Chris, hello, Tony Gwynn Jr., 5:19 The Time, Gwen and Chris program. Final show of this week. We will be off tomorrow, so we invite you to listen to the station, but we won't have a show tomorrow. Ben and Woods are also off tomorrow. The coach is also off tomorrow. And you ask, why are you guys taking a day off? Because they said we could. That's the answer to that question.
Pretty simple.
Pretty simple. We will also be off on Monday for Memorial Day, so enjoy while we can here the last couple of hours of today's program. We will not be back until Tuesday. Time now for the High School Sports Report. The High School Report is brought to you by Lolita's Mexican Food, serving San Diego's best Mexican food since 1984. With 7 locations in town, Lolita's Mexican Food. And that brings us the coach, John Cantera.
What's up, coach?
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. Had a great show today. Had a lot of fun. Looking forward to a fun weekend. I was out sitting on the back patio, and we had a little early dinner tonight, so I went out and made a few phone calls and had 97.3 The Fan on. That's pretty good. You had Charlie Hoffman call in. That was cool. The old Poway Titan. And today on our show, we had Donnie Edwards, the old Charger and Kansas City Chief, and then Ron Roberts, who used to be with the Board of Supervisors, called in and gave a great story about Donnie Edwards once upon a time when he was playing for the Chargers. Ron asked him to go out to the San Pasqual Academy out there in Escondido, that home for the kids that were from foster homes. And he was telling a great story about Donnie Edwards. So they're all out there listening today.
That's great. Hey, Coach, you did a great interview yesterday with Barbara Bree, and it was good to see. Like, it was almost like maybe the city council heard your interview yesterday, because it was like now the reports are today that they are going to have a special vote next, I guess it's next Friday, to see if they can't, you know, get this thing, the book closed on this San Diego State West Mission Valley thing. But you did a really nice interview. I mean, your thoughts after doing that interview, and I'm sure you're happy with the news that came down today.
I was very happy. You know, last week when I had Jennifer Van Grove, who's been a great contributor to my program here in the last year, covering this story, you know, when I got done talking to her last Thursday, I was really upset. And then Friday I came in, I was still upset. And you know, Barbara Bree, I followed her a little bit. She had a very interesting career, guys. She graduated from the University of Pennsylvania and then went and got her master's at Harvard. And, you know, she'd never been in politics until 2016. And, you know, she's done a lot of really incredible things. And I knew that she was a little bit hot and bothered about this. So we contacted her and very happy to have her on. And, you know, she got on the city a little bit. I mean, she told everybody on my show, she did tell them, hey, call Mayor Faulkner's office, call Georgette Gomez's office, and we got to get this thing on the docket because we can't vote on it if they won't put it on the docket. And it kind of built throughout the course of the day, and things were being retweeted. And then last night, I'm sitting here at home, and I was real fired up. I mean, think about last night. What a great evening last night. We started to hear about how the city council was going to probably get this a week from tomorrow. And then also late last night, we found out that the restaurants could start opening up and seating people, and retail stores could start having people come in. I mean, it's been a really very, very good week around San Diego and Southern California, and California in general, I think.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it's been a productive week. Like, the city got a lot of stuff done in this week. It certainly feels like. Coach, what do you got for us this week on your high school report?
Well, high school, I'll tell you what, guys, you know, I was on the phone for about, probably almost 2 hours last night talking to different people. I can tell you, these high school football coaches, they're running Zoom meetings for their coaching staff. They're running Zoom meetings for their players, doing workouts with their players. And we may have some of the best conditioned high school football coaches in America the way these guys are running these Zoom meetings right now. I mean, some of these guys are going to become Jack LaLanne and Charles Atlas, I think, before August. But I can tell you right now, they're planning on playing on time. I mean, they're supposed to report to camp on July 31st. The other thing that probably – that I know the high school coaches were really excited about. And again, we got to go, you know, with the social distancing and doing what we can and follow all the rules. But normally they have what they call the dead period. There's a 2-week period that you can decide when you don't want to meet with your athletes during the summer. And normally what happens, you have all these passing leagues, you got weight training, you got conditioning. And then about 2 weeks before you start regular fall camp, that'll be the dead period. That way everything else is already over. Guys get a little rest and relaxation and get ready for camp. Well, because everybody lost out on spring football, the CIF yesterday voted, and the board of managers voted to do away with the dead period. So whenever guys can start getting back on campus, working out, and again, it's going to be limited to, you know, 12 athletes or less probably for a while. So you're going to have to stagger your workouts. There won't be a dead period. So a lot of these teams that, you know, maybe have a real young team and didn't get any type of practice or way behind, they're going to be able to have a couple of weeks probably to get caught up. And the good teams that are, you know, coming back with a lot of seniors and juniors, you know, they're going to be in pretty good shape as well. But a lot of positive things. And, oh, one last thing. We're going to have a new commissioner here in a couple of weeks. It's going to be Joe Hines. And Joe Hines still working very much with Jerry Steep right now. One of the things that they're looking to do already, and this is where these guys are on top of their game, they're going out and starting to canvass all the different high schools all over San Diego, you know, whether it's North County, East County, South Bay, City, they're East County, they're looking at all the press boxes because they know media more and more now is following high school sports. They know that we show up from time to time doing a game at a certain stadium, and they want to make sure that there's enough of room to accommodate all the media and broadcasters that are coming out to cover high school football right now. So they're doing their due diligence, and I thought that was pretty sharp.
That's awesome.
That they're way ahead of the game on that.
That is good.
No doubt.
Coach, I want to just know one thing before you go. Things are cooking. You got Barbara Breon yesterday. You got the ball rolling. Now they got the vote coming up. You got restaurants opening up. You got things happening around town, some positive news to deal with. And you told Tony and I just a little while ago that last night you were really fired up.
Right.
Can you just give us an idea what that is like?
Well, you know, I get pretty passionate. I mean, I'm pretty fired up right now.
I know you do. That's why I'm asking.
I had Kristen Gaspar on from the County Board of Supervisors, and we're still waiting, even though we're in phase two right now. She's trying to get that pilot program of phase three going to where we can get a lot of young athletes back out there on the training circuit, you know, with soccer and baseball. And again, it'll be a lot of social distancing, but you know, her proposal is to try to get, you know, youth sports back, at least practice it a little bit, with workable numbers. Then hopefully by July, these kids can get back playing games. So, you know, just a lot of things going on right now. I'm looking forward to the 4-day weekend. I think all of us are. It's been a tough 10 weeks, you know, doing shows relatively with no sports, actual live sports other than some KBO baseball games and some NASCAR here the last 4 or 5 days and, you know, a few UFC events. But I think we all need a 4-day breather. But I'm fired up and ready to roll on Tuesday. I already got my show booked and ready to roll. And I want to wish everyone a very, very happy and safe Memorial holiday. And I want to congratulate your boy Scraby, along with my guy Braden Suprenant and Paul Reindl in the morning, on those guys getting those coins. All three of those guys very deserved being recognized by Intercom yesterday.
Well, we're in the process of trying to get Scraby's coin revoked, but we appreciate appreciate the nod, I'm sure. Coach, always great catching up with you. Go ahead, Tony. Sorry.
I was going to say real quick, Coach, I know Kristen Gaspar is working hard to get that youth initiative pushed through. I've been in contact with her office as well.
Oh, she gave you a nice plug on the show yesterday. There's
did she really?
About that. Oh, absolutely.
Good. Good. Well, hopefully that can get done here soon, because I'm sure as long as it's done safely, there's a lot of kids out there just itching at the bit to get back outside and get back some with some of their teams.
Well, it's important.
And
to
while
get
you
everybody
while
out
you
and
brought
exercise.
That up, Tony, Kristen, his website for this initiative, they can go to GameOnSanDiego.com, GameOnSanDiego.com, and they can get more information on that pilot program for the youth sports. And again, we're hoping to get some kind of you know, feedback, a yay or nay tomorrow by Governor Newsom. So we'll see where it goes.
Keep our fingers crossed.
Coach, outstanding as always. Great catching up with you. Thanks. Have a great 4-day weekend, and we'll catch up with you Tuesday.
Hey, look forward to it, boys. Love you, and keep it rolling. Great show going today. I'm going to go back on the patio and turn it back on.
Thanks,
all right,
Coach.
Thank you.
There he is, the coach, John Quintero, joining us on the High School Report. It's brought to you by Lolita's Mexican Food, serving San Diego's best Mexican food since 1984 with 7 locations in town. Lolita's Mexican Food. I just had to ask him that question, Tony, because I've been with the coach when he gets fired up.
Yeah, he's one of the most passionate people you'll ever meet,
that is,
for sure.
That is a classic. When he gets fired up about something, and he's done. I mean, I feel like he had a lot to do with, you know, getting Barbara Breon yesterday and getting this whole ball rolling a little bit. And, you know, who knows just how much that interview had to do with them getting this thing on the ballot next week. It may have had a little something to do with it. Maybe it had nothing to do with it. I don't know. But I like to feel that the coach gets passionate and gets behind something that that helps it happen in San Diego. So
agreed.
That was cool. All right. We have coming up something that's not as cool to us. Our 5 least favorite ways to work out. That's today's countdown. I think everybody's looking to work out these days, trying to stay in some sort of shape with all the extra time. But what ways do we dislike it the most? We will explain when we return. I'm Chris Ello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. It is Gwynn and Chris on this Thursday afternoon. Stick with us on 97.3 The Fan.
Gwen and Chris like to rank things. Not college rankings, not athlete rankings.
So what's your point?
But their own rankings. And these rankings can be very serious.
Top five ways that we like potatoes.
Top five pizzas.
Top five ways to beat the heat.
I like where this is going. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
The countdown starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Countdown is here today in top five least favorite exercises. And I thought it would be fitting since everybody has been at home and I see so many workout videos of people doing different things in their backyard, trying to find ways to stay in shape. So we thought we'd go this. The countdown is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers in San Diego. So with that being said, Chris, would you like me to go first?
Number five.
Sure. One of the exercises as a baseball player that you kind of need to do during the offseason is throw a baseball. And I can tell you, after not throwing one from usually for me, I was only in the playoffs once, so October to probably mid-November, it's the worst exercise possible.
Really?
Yes. Your arm and shoulder hurt so much if you don't continue to throw from the time the season ends till you get to the offseason. If you wait, it's like starting from scratch again. And going through what will first would be a dead arm, then usually followed by some elbow soreness, then followed by some shoulder soreness. Eventually, you work through all of that, but that is the thing that a lot of players really don't look forward to if they're taking that time off. Now, as I got older, I realized it's probably better just not to take the time off. Just keep throwing so I don't have to deal with it.
But
early in my career when I was, like, taking some time away, oh, it's the first month throwing a baseball was the worst thing on the planet.
I had absolutely no idea. Even as a pitcher, my arm never hurt. I guess I was just either lucky or I didn't throw hard enough for it to hurt. But my arm, I could just like not throw forever or throw forever, and it never seemed to matter. My favorite way of playing catch, though, was long toss.
Yes.
Throw like 70 yards away. That was what
I enjoy. A good long
stretch the arm out.
I too enjoy a good long toss, just not in the first month. It is like the worst
not
thing.
Not early on.
No.
All right, my fifth least favorite way to work out is, and I don't know what it's called. I asked Scraby to look it up for me, but he couldn't find anything. So
I did too find something.
Yeah, well, there was nothing, is what you found. It's a sit-up when you kick your legs out straight and...
Bicycles.
No, I said that!
You did not!
Yes, I did, and you're like, that's not it! And that's
if
not
you
even...
would have said bicycles, I would have written it down right here.
I said cycling or something like that, and you're like...
Something like that.
So you didn't say bicycles. You
but this
didn't
isn't
say
a
what
bicycle.
It really was.
This isn't a bicycle.
Well, it's not a bicycle. It's a sit-up where you're kicking your legs like you're riding a bicycle, and you got to take your right elbow and touch your left knee, and then switch over and get your left elbow to touch your right knee. I actually don't mind a good sit-up every now and again. I'll do some sit-ups. But those bicycle sit-ups are for the birds. I can't do them. I hate them. I start to be in pain by about the second one, and I can't stand anytime I'm in one of my wife's Pilates workout classes, and the instructor goes, "It's time for bicycles. Let's go." I just usually go and grab a water or something like that, or pretend like I've got an ache in my elbow or something. I can't do those bicycle sit-ups. I don't know why, but I like I said, I can do a sit-up fine. I don't have a problem with that. It's that bicycle-style sit-up that I can't stand.
Yeah, those are terrible. And that's why they're number four on my list. Anything?
Oh, really? You had them on your list?
Yeah, anything pertaining to ab work is not my favorite. It sits fourth. Wow. Whether it's bicycles, where you got the rollout wheel where you got to kind of, there's a one wheel and you're...
Man, that kill your stomach right there.
Those things I could really do without, especially since you only really get the benefit of ab workouts if you're eating right. Like, that's the only way a six-pack actually shows up, if you're doing those exercises and eating right.
And not eating.
Or not eating. I've usually done one of the two, and that's I've been able to do the workout part, but the eating part, I kind of struggle with that part.
Well, I'm with you on the abs, but I don't mind them that much, but that bicycle thing, no. All right, number four, least favorite way of working out for me is hiking. Find it to be a dirty, dusty, hot, sweaty exercise, and I'd rather not do it. I don't mind going for a walk along the beach, but don't get me hiking up hills and on dusty, dirty trails and having to move branches out of my way. I don't really get hiking. I've never really gotten the good old outdoors, Tony. I missed the memo on that. I know I'm a San Diego guy now, and I'm supposed to like outdoor stuff. And my wife and I go on hikes once in a while. And I got to say, I just kind of grin and bear it because it's not my favorite thing to do. I'd rather walk around a mall than go walking out in the wilderness in the middle of nowhere. And I don't know. It doesn't work for me. It's never been a big thing for me.
You know, go ahead.
Number three.
People often wonder, you know, because of our age differences, you know, why we mesh so well. We actually have a lot in common, and we've got two things on the same list, because hiking is also three on my list. My wife is huge when it comes to being outdoor and doing all that, and I'm not. So I have to grin and bear it on her birthday when she wants to go.
Come on, honey, let's go for a hike. On like an 11-mile hike.
She wants to go to Torrey Pines and do that hiking thing. It's not my favorite. I've learned to just grin and bear it because it's her day when we usually go do it, and she enjoys it. But certainly not something that I look forward to by any.
Well, I can give you my wife's cell number, and next time your wife wants to go for a hike,
we can have
a willing and able partner, because my wife would love to hike with her.
I heard that.
Yeah, this isn't in the same category as exercising, but I always kind of liken hiking to camping a little bit. I don't know why I think of them in the same vein. And I never understood camping either. I never understood anybody that wants to go camping. If you haven't got the memo yet, they invented electricity. they invented something. It's called the bed.
Yes.
Most of us have one. Most of us have lights that work. You don't need to be uncomfortable laying on the ground in the middle of the night, in the middle of the forest, where you could be attacked and eaten by critters.
That's my biggest
don't
thing
get
is
it.
The critters. And here's the other, I've been making up excuses for years about going camping because
you have
my
four kids who probably want to try it.
My kids want to try it so bad, and I'm just not the outdoorsman type of guy.
Well, you know what you do is lock them in their room with no lights on and no bed, and tell them this is what camping is like, and no food.
Right.
They'll immediately come to the conclusion that camping isn't any big deal. All right, number three, least favorite way of working out for me is a plank. I don't know who invented this. I don't remember a plank, again, when I was a kid growing up, even in college. I don't ever remember anybody doing a plank. All of a sudden, now you go to the gym and you got these monsters around you doing planks for like 11 minutes, 12 minutes, 19 minutes. Are you kidding me? Has anybody ever done a plank really for more than like 45 seconds without just complete, utter, total pain racing through their body from head to toe?
No, I don't think they have.
Yeah. Are planks, are they kind of new, or did I just miss out on them for a long time?
New is at least in the last 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah. At least that's when I started hearing about them.
Who in the world came up with the idea? Hey, let's just sit on our elbows and stick our feet out and just sit, not move.
Number two.
Number two on my list is something called Bulgarian lunges. I'll explain. You get into...
I don't like the lunge part already.
Right. So your back leg, foot is elevated a little bit. And so you have usually some weights on both sides. You're holding some weights and you're going into a lunge. It's just not your regular lunge because that back leg is elevated. And it's just not fun. I don't know any other way to explain it. It can be painful. But that's the one that sits at number two on my list.
With all due respect to any of the Bulgarians in the audience, just the name Bulgarian Lunge just sounds like it hurts.
It does. It definitely does.
All right, number two for me, least favorite exercise. This was close to number one, but it has to chime in at 1A. Least favorite exercise for me, yoga. I don't get yoga. I don't get it. I don't understand it. We've talked about this before because you like to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I can tell, in yoga, all you're doing is breathing and concentrating on your breathing. And all that does is put me to sleep. So I've never made it through a yoga course. And usually about 20 minutes in, they stop and they laugh at me because I'm snoring over on the side of the room there. But yoga just doesn't – I don't really get the whole thing with yoga. I know some people, it's like the greatest exercise in the world. It's changed their lives. And to those people, I say I'm happy for you. But for me, I don't get it.
Number one.
If you want to hear me complain about working out, just ask me to do bear crawls. If you played football, you know a little bit about this, but that was with pads and a helmet on a lot of times. But basically, you're on your hands and feet, and you got to stay at that level and walk however many yards it is. Or, you know, I don't know if it's considered walking. You're walking on your hands and feet, basically, for 5 yards, 10 yards, 20 yards. It sucks. And what I've noticed is it didn't used to be this bad when I was a lot lighter. But now that I'm heavier, oh, gosh, it's the worst thing ever. And it's something that I seemingly is in my programs all the time. I've tried to get it taken out. Trainers don't want to do it.
Well, they think they like it. It must be an effective thing then.
It must be.
Yeah.
I don't know how effective. I know it hurts.
What are some of the things, like you work out Drew Brees and stuff like that. What are some of the things that those guys do that the rest of us just wouldn't even be able to accomplish once?
I don't know if there's anything that wouldn't be able to accomplish once, but most of the things I named are hot and heavy on their programs.
On their lists. Yeah.
Bulgarian lunges, these bear crawls.
And they
do it like with a slow, like they like to enjoy the burn. You know, I try to get through it as fast as I can. They go super slow, make sure they get every little bit out of the rep.
Why is it I can see Drew Brees kind of at the head of the group going, okay, guys, it's time for the Bulgarian lunges.
Because
he's all excited about the group somehow.
I don't know if he's excited, but he certainly gets through it like he loves it.
All right, well, my number one least favorite way to exercise is something I did today. It's something I will do again later this week if they don't open the silly swimming pool in my neighborhood, and that's running. I can't stand it. Mm. I hate it. I don't look forward to it. I don't enjoy it while it's happening. I've never, honestly, I could be wrong, Tony. Maybe you have. I've never seen a jogger smile or laugh in my life, and I certainly haven't. I have jogged a lot in my life. I even ran a marathon one time, but I did that more for just the challenge of doing something that I didn't think was possible to do.
I laugh all the time while I run, Chris. It's just...
Yeah, see, I have a firm rule about running with people.
Okay.
Don't talk to me while
me
we're running.
Me neither.
Yeah.
There should be no talking at all. I don't care if you can smile, but don't speak in my direction because you'll get ignored.
I cannot stand it when I'm running. And so that's the main reason why I avoided Scraby today when I was running.
Dude,
I didn't want him to talk to me.
We're in the same boat. If I would have seen you, I would have avoided you as well.
Yeah,
it's
well,
nothing to do with me and you not liking each other. It's just that we don't want to talk to each other before the show.
No, I don't mind talking to you if I'm not running. But if I'm running, I can't deal with it. I can barely, as somebody, if I'm jogging on the street and somebody's running the other way and gives me a little wave, I can barely give a wave back.
You could barely?
Yeah.
I mean, your arms are next to your sides. You could T-Rex wave if you want.
I don't want to be interrupted in any way, shape, or form. I don't want
to give you that energy.
No, I don't want to use an extra ounce of energy to raise my left arm now.
Yep.
Just because you happen to be running the other way. Running is just a terrible thing.
At best, you'll get a head nod.
not best.
That's
not,
it.
Oh, that, like, yeah, the old, eh.
That's the most I can give you. Sorry, especially if we're running.
You know, there was the guy that wrote the book on running, jogging. His name was Jim Fix. Did you ever hear of this story?
No, I have not.
So back in the 70s, when jogging first became kind of popular in the world, a guy wrote a book about jogging and how to work out and how to jog, and his name was Jim Fix, F-I-X-X. And unfortunately, the poor man died. After the book came out, he died while jogging.
Oh, my.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm never going to read that book in my life.
Well, you don't have to.
It's a death sentence.
That gives you all you need to know about running.
Oh,
indeed.
The guy who
indeed.
Wrote the book on the subject
died.
Even died from it.
Wow.
That's
how tough running is. So there.
All right. The countdown is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change Center with 30 locations to serve you. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for the location nearest you. We've got a few minutes left. What you said something in my ear there. I didn't quite hear that, Scraby.
Stratomatic.
Yes.
Update.
Yes, I think I was going to say that.
Let's go Stratomatic.
Got to do a little Stratomatic update. Padres are in Miami taking on the Marlins, final game of a three-game series. Rubber game of the three-game series. If you've been following along with us, you know that we play a Padres-Stratomatic game every day that the real Padres would have been playing a game this Major League season. And tonight would have been their 50th game of the year. Had Major League Baseball started on time and gone along according to plan. Padres and Miami Marlins, and this is Zach Davies on the mound tonight for the Padres. Jordan Yamamoto pitching for the Miami Marlins. And the Marlins get off to the early lead here. Two-run single in the bottom of the first inning by Matt Joyce, followed by an RBI single by Jorge Alfaro. So a slow start for Zach Davies. Three runs on the board in the bottom of the first inning. Padres are retired in order in the first, second, and third inning. Jordan Yamamoto, good young pitcher, gets the first nine Padres, but he walks Tommy Pham leading off the fourth, and that leads to Eric Hosmer's RBI single. So Padres are on the board. We're midway through the ball game in Miami, and the Marlins are leading the Padres by a score of 3-1. Padres coming into the game with a record of 27-22. That's courtesy of the recent 11-game winning streak they put together. They have lost two of the last three coming into this one tonight. But trailing right now to the Marlins, 3-1. Midway through the ball game, we'll have the final result for you during our happy hour here, which is coming up pretty quick.
It is. It's coming up pretty quick. And to lead off that happy hour, we got two truths and a lie on the way. Plus, as Chris said, we'll continue that Stratomatic game. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.